Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, featuring holiday shows of the Golden Age of Radio. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Later in the hour, suspense with a program called Christmas for Carol, but first it's a Christmas stocking, 1944, furnished by the Armed Forces Radio Service and heard overseas on December 24th, 1944.
Merry Christmas. This is Ginger Rogers, bringing you a Christmas stocking filled with cheer, laughter, and music. A stocking hung on the Christmas tree for you, and signed from the good old USA. Christmas is complete without Christmas carols. I think we all have memories of hearing Silent Night and Adeste Fidelis as they floated out over the crisp, clear air of a Christmas night. So for your first present in this Christmas stocking, we have Miss Helen Trobel and the chorus to sing for you three of your favorite Christmas carols.
Prepare the fire, the bright sky, look down.
there's trouble. Oddly enough, fellas, most of you won't see any snow this Christmas. You probably know that, and there's not much point in my bringing it up. I bring it up, however, by way of offering a musical substitution. This is not as good as soft, white, crunchy snowflakes, of course, but it's called Snowfall, and in the men the orchestra thought you might like to hear it, so hear it out, won't you? Probably heard many times on your home radios that grand couple, Cornelia Otis Skinner and Roland Young. Well, now they've asked for the opportunity to add their own particular present to your Christmas stocking, so we've gone ahead and made arrangements with them to present their present to you directly from New York City. So we take you now to New York, where Cornelia Otis Skinner and Roland Young give out as William and Mary.
Almost done?
Almost. Only have a few finishing touches on the tree.
Just what touch isn't finished on the tree?
The Star of Bethlehem.
Star of Bethlehem?
You know that big glass decoration we put on the top of the tree every year.
Well, where is it? I suppose I'll have to put it up.
No, you don't. You don't have to do anything but sit still. Anyway, I'll have to find it first.
Have you lost the Star of Bethlehem?
No, dear, I haven't lost it. I've just hidden it somewhere so I'd know where it was.
Oh.
Well, you can help by picking up those Christmas cards.
What'll I do with them?
Sit down and read them.
I don't enjoy reading Christmas cards. Do I read them aloud?
Gives you any pleasure?
It doesn't. This one says season's greeting, and it's a photograph of two very handsome horses.
Who is it from?
The horses, I gather.
Must be from Gilbert.
If it is, then Mrs. Gilbert is wearing a saddle. Mrs. Gordon sends the likeness of a Scotty dog sitting on a holly wreath.
Ouch, how painful. What does it say?
Xmas.
Must be cutting down on account of the war.
Yes. Here's an appropriate one. It says, "We are dreaming of a white Christmas."
Who sent that?
Murphy's Home Laundry.
Yeah, we must have the Murphys over to dinner sometime. Maybe they'll bring back your shirt.
Gosh, there are certainly all the presents here. Oh, this one's got a tag on it to me from your cousin Cyrilla. It's probably another coonskin cap with earmuffs like the ones you sent me last year. Your relatives certainly keep up with the time.
Oh, it's as up to the minute as those jersey bloomers with crocheted ruffles your great aunt Sarah sent me. Heaven knows with your family, you're not one to talk about my relatives.
That remark is entirely uncalled for, and it occurs to me you're uncommonly touchy.
I'm not at all. It's just that I'm all tired out trying to dress this tree. My nerves are completely gone. Here, put this package under the tree for me.
I thought you said you weren't going to ask me to do a blessed thing.
This isn't a blessed thing. One small favor.
Oh, well, where do you want me to put it?
Oh, just drop it anywhere. Whoa!
You said to drop it anywhere.
I meant set it down gently and you flang it. Oh, how could you be so careless? It's a bottle of very old brandy for you.
Oh, good Lord, Mary, why didn't you tell me? I might have busted it. Well, thank heaven it seems to be all right. Can't I open it?
Certainly not. Spoils the surprise.
But I'm not going to be surprised now. Oh, let me open it.
Well, I'm ready to plug in the light on the tree.
I'll let you open your present for me.
Well, I want you to plug in the light for the tree.
You tell me there's nothing for me to do, and then you want me to go crawling about on my hands and knees, getting pine needles in my hair and plugging in lights.
Well, what about me? I've been toiling at this tree for hours. Here it is, nearly 2 a.m. on Christmas Day, and you haven't so much as lifted a finger to help.
You were under the tree a while ago. Why didn't you plug in the light just now?
Because I'm afraid of getting a shock.
Oh, you don't mind sending me to an early dinner? No, I'm sorry. I won't do it. I'm going to sit right down here and... Ow!
What's the matter?
I think I found the Star of Bethlehem. I've made a 5-point landing on it.
Oh, Will, look what you've done. You've ruined it.
You mean the Star of Bethlehem has darn near ruined me?
Couldn't you have looked where you were sitting? Where are your eyes?
Unfortunately, they're not where I sit.
William,
so completely impossible. I work myself to the bone trying to make Christmas happy for you and Emmy. And what do? You go to Christmas parties and then you come home and plunge headlong into the chair.
Headlong?
You think it's been any fun for me? Dead tired and...
I'm dead tired, too. Furthermore, I have a perfectly good invitation to go to the club tonight.
Well, why don't you go?
Everybody be gone by now. Oh, this is all very silly.
You think so?
Mary.
Hmm?
Are you crying?
Mm-mm.
Are you crying, Mary?
Mm-mm, I tell you.
You are crying, aren't you?
No, I'm not crying. I'm not crying, no.
Oh, there now, darling. If I said anything to hurt you, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too, Will. We oughtn't to fight on Christmas Eve.
We oughtn't to fight on any Eve.
Yes.
Yes. Now, is everything settled?
Yes. And the tree's finished. All I have to do is plug in the light. This is the moment I've worked for all day.
I know it, darling, but you're not going to plug in the light. I will. If you do, something's bound to go wrong.
No, I'll do it. You sit down and
No, dear, you sit down. After my experience with the Star of Bethlehem, I doubt if I'll ever be able to sit down again.
Poor Willie.
Now, when I tell you, you switch off the other lights and we'll get the full effect of the tree. You ready?
You look so cute down there on your hands and knees.
Oh, Mary, dear, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here goes.
What happened? Will, are you all right?
Oh, it's a short circuit.
Oh, dear.
Now, isn't that fine? Here it is, Christmas Eve. No lights
at
all.
Oh, well, it isn't really so bad. Look, it's so lovely here in the dark. Why, just look at that moonlight streaming in on the tree.
But, Mary...
The way it's shining on those ornaments, they look so lovely. Red is really the gayest Christmas color, isn't it?
Well, Mary, wait a minute.
You know, it's amazing. They look like real candles and real flames.
But, Mary, Mary...
For heaven's sake, what is it?
They are real flames.
What?
Yes, go get some water. That short circuit has set the tree on fire.
Oh.
Thank you, Cornelia Otis Skinner and Roland Young. And now, for your next offering, we bring out a package gaily wrapped in star-studded silver paper with all the old familiar Christmas trimming. And while we're on the subject of trimming, who ever heard of a Christmas without someone singing the first Noel? Dinah Shore has asked if she could join in with her rendition. And you guessed it, men, we nabbed her. So here she is now, putting a bit of grand old Tennessee into the Yuletide spirit.
The first Noel, the angel that came, was to send poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
And now comes your next present. I'm sure you'll like it. I was reading a poem the other day, and I thought, what a nice thing it would be to give you men overseas, well, for a few moments at least, something you've dreamed about many, many times. Your dream house. So I've asked John Nesbitt to come here today and read for you Don Blanding's Vagabond House.
When I have a house, as I sometime may, I'll suit my fancy in every way. I'll fill it with things that have caught my eye in drifting from Iceland to Molokai. It won't be correct or in period style, that, oh, I've thought for a long, long while of all the corners and all the nooks, of all the bookshelves and all the books, the great big table, the deep, soft chairs, and the Chinese rug at the foot of the stairs. It's an old, old rug from far Chaoan that a Chinese princess once walked on. And I'll have good friends who can sit and chat, or simply sit when it comes to that, by the fireplace where the fir logs blaze and the smoke rolls up in a weaving haze. And there where the shadows fall, I've planned to have a magnificent concert grand. With polished woods and ivory keys, for wild discordant rhapsodies, for wailing minor Hindu songs, for Chinese chants with clanging gongs, for flippant jazz and for lullabies, and moody things that I'll improvise to play the long gray dusk away and bid good night to another day. Pictures I think I'll have but three. One in oil of a windswept sea with the flying scud and the waves whipped white. I know the chap who can paint it right. In lapis blue and deep jade green, a great big smashing fine marine that'll make you feel the spray in your face. I'll hang that over my fireplace. And I'll have a window seat broad and deep where I can sprawl to read or sleep, with windows placed so that I can turn and watch the sunset blaze and burn beyond high peaks that scar the sky like bare white wolf fangs that defy the very gods. I'll have a nook for a savage idol that I took from a ruined temple in Peru. A demon chaser named Meng Chu to guard my house by night and day and keep all evil things away. And then when my house is all complete, I'll stretch me out on the window seat with a favorite book and a cigarette and a long, cool drink that our joy will get. And I'll look about at my bachelor nest while the sun goes zooming down the west. And I'll think of some heathen place that I failed to see, that I've missed some way. And I'll feel the lure of it drawing me. Oh, darn. I know what the end will be. I'll go, and my house will fall away. While the moths by night and the mice by day will nibble the covers off all my books, and the spiders weave in the shadowed nook. And my dogs, I'll see that they have a home. While I follow the sun, while I drift and roam to the ends of the earth like a chip on the stream, like a straw in the wind, like a vagrant dream. And the thought will strike with a swift, sharp pain that I probably will never build again this house that I'll have in some far day. Oh, well, it's only a dream house, anyway.
Thank you, John. That was lovely. Well, it looks like the next package is done up in bright red and green ribbons. And if I'm not mistaken, when we untie these ribbons, we'll find a new arrangement of The Night Before Christmas, sung by the chorus.
Settle down for a long time. to see what was the matter. Away in the window, I ran back, tore open the shutter, threw open the sash. Then up to the house, up this course, and they flew with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof all the clattering noise of each galloping horse. All bundled in fur from his head to his foot, his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. I drew in my head and was turning around when down the chimney he came with a bound.
He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work. He filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk.
About gone through all of your presents. We're at the bottom of your Christmas stocking. And we certainly hope you like them. Yes, it's Christmas again, and another year has passed. A year that's been a symbol of battles, blood, and victory. Yes, it's Christmas 1944. Our fourth Christmas at war. But now we know that the star of peace will surely shine again, and its message will be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This is Ginger Rogers saying goodbye and a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
One seems to hear, one doesn't hear from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they sound, raising the drums, the hill and air, pounding the bell, gaily they ring, while people sing songs up his ear, Christmas is here, sailing, darling, darling, darling.
Christmas Stocking, 1944, on Tuned to Yesterday, an Armed Forces Radio Service broadcast from Christmas Eve of that year. You are listening to an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Singer Dennis Day had been a fixture on the Jack Benny program for years, and on December 17, 1950, on the CBS radio network, co-starred with Benny in his annual Christmas shopping episode. And just 4 days later, on the same network, appeared in this broadcast of suspense in the radio play Christmas for Carol from December 21st, 1950.
And now with Christmas for Carol and the performance of Dennis Day, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
It was dark and silent. The window in the house glinted a little from the Christmas tree lights. Rocky didn't move. He just stood there in the alley, but I wanted to run. Fast, get away and put it behind me.
Just a second.
We got the money, Rocky. What are we hanging around for? Come on, let's get out of here.
I said we wait for the old couple to get back.
What for? Why take chances now?
We got some money. How do we know it's all of it? Maybe they split it and put it in two places. We'll wait here and watch for them when they come in. They'll tip it.
It was $8,000. That's what he withdrew.
You asked for this, kid. Now do as you're told. We wait.
I couldn't help being scared. This was my first job, my first and last. I just wanted that money. I wanted it fast and short, and I wanted to run away from it and forget it. For one shot. That's why I got hold of Rocky Perea. Lucky. I had to be lucky just this once. For Carol, not for me. It was for Carol. Nothing else I cared about, see? It didn't seem possible now that 3 days ago I hadn't known Rocky. Hadn't needed him. What is it, Doctor? How about the baby?
Your wife must remain in bed.
Serious?
No, not serious, but she's got to stay flat on her back. A nurse. You should have a nurse with her all the time.
Oh, but it's 2 months away, Doctor.
Well, it's just a question of keeping her relaxed and quiet, not letting her do any work around the house. Lift things or even walk.
Okay, Doctor. And she'll be all right?
There's one other thing. She was quite worried when I told her about the nurse. I got the feeling she's well afraid to have the baby.
Afraid?
Not for herself. I can't put my finger on it, but it's having a detrimental effect on her condition, and...
I know what it is, Doctor. Money.
Oh, I see. Well, it might not be easy finding a nurse. Only 4 days till Christmas.
I'll get one, Doctor. Thanks.
I'll call you in the evening.
Yeah. Thanks again, Doctor.
Paul?
Sweetheart, it'll be all right. I'm going to get the nurse to take care of you.
I'll be able to get up and around in a day or two.
Not if you want that son. The doc said everything will be all right if you take it easy, and you're going to take it easy.
But a nurse...
Look, I've got to get back to the bank. I'm only on my lunch hour, sweetheart. I'll make a few calls from there, and tonight we'll pick out the nurse.
How much do they charge?
What's the difference?
How much, Paul? It's a lot of money, I know.
50, 60 a week. We'll make out all right now. There's nothing to worry about.
Oh, Paul. This is going to be a happy Christmas now.
Yeah, a happy Christmas in this dump.
It's funny, Paul. $50 a week for a nurse for another 2 months. It's funny. You make $48.50 at the bank. You'll have to pay the nurse more money than you earn.
Yeah, more money than I earn. You know how it is being a bank teller? Feeling, seeing, handling money, taking in money, paying it out. When I went back to work, I was seeing it for the first time with something more than a detached feeling. Thinking, I need this money. I need this money. I need this money. How I need this money. For Carol and the baby. It was almost 3 o'clock when Eddie the bookie came in.
Hi, Paul. Good day yesterday. And big action in a few days. Santa Anita opens.
Yeah. People like to throw their money away.
They throw it, I catch it.
Eddie, could I see you later?
You ready to make a deal?
I want to talk to you.
What time you through?
5 o'clock.
Meet you outside at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Eddie Garth, bookie. He quit school in the seventh grade. I held out and went through college. And all these years he's tried to get me to go in with him, to run his office, do the bookwork. He was waiting for me when I finished work. We went to a coffee shop and sat down. And all around us, the loudspeakers reminding me what a happy Christmas it was.
How's Carol, Paul?
Not so good, Eddie. That's what I want to talk to you about.
Nah, no more loans, Paul. You need money? Come with me.
Don't you ever give up.
What's so good at the bank? $25 for a Christmas bonus?
Look, Eddie...
Come in with me, now. With Santa Anita opening. I could work the outside, get new accounts...
Eddie...
And I'll give you 10% of those accounts, Paul. But I won't lend you the money. I'd be a sucker to lend it to you. I'll give it to you if you come in, but I won't lend you anymore.
Okay, Eddie, forget it. I'll get it some other way.
I don't get it. What's wrong with my deal?
Look, Eddie, how many times have you been rousted by the vice squad?
Plenty. Well,
and every time they book you and they fingerprint you and take your picture.
So what? They never have anything on me.
It's on your record, Eddie. As long as you live.
Ah.
Sure, I need money. Maybe I'm getting close to the time when I'm not too choosy about the way I get it. But it won't be your way.
What? What are you talking about?
If I ever break the law, it's going to be with the right guy and it's going to be the right job.
Are you dreaming, Paul? You'll still be in that cage 10 years from now.
I'd hit and run. One job with enough out of it to make it worthwhile. That's the way to be, Eddie. A one shot.
There is no such thing, Paul. You do something like that, you're stuck in it. And you're worse off than if you came with me. Think about it, Paul.
Go home then and fix dinner for Carol, all the time thinking of the money and Carol and the baby and debts. The worry eating at me and thinking about what I'd said to Eddie. Then the next morning, old man Forbes made a withdrawal. The first he'd ever made.
Hi, son.
What? Oh, hello, Mr. Forbes.
I'm going to miss you, son. Seems like we're good friends after all these years.
Miss me?
Take a look at the slip.
That's a lot of money.
12 years hard work. That's what that money means.
But you're taking it all out?
Yeah, and I quit my job today.
Quit your job?
Ada and me, we've been waiting a long time for this Christmas. We're moving out of the city.
Oh?
And we've had our eye on a little farm. Now we can buy it. You've got the papers drawn up.
Then you're leaving right away?
About a week. But Ada don't know yet. I'm going to surprise her. Kind of a Christmas present.
But it's not safe to keep so much cash on you, especially...
Well, I've got a perfect place to hide it, son. No one would think to look there. Besides, I figure I've worked too hard and too long to lose it now. Oh, no, son. It wouldn't happen. Wouldn't seem right somehow.
Stayed with me and it grew, like a wheel spinning, gaining momentum. This could be the right job. $8,000, enough for that single shot. It stayed with me, all the time growing, growing.
Lunch is on me, Paul, if you change your mind.
No, I called you, Eddie, because I need your help.
What kind of help?
Well, you can arrange for me to talk to someone.
Maybe. Who is it?
Rocky Perea.
Rocky Perea? Are you kidding? You picked yourself the right guy, all right. The cops don't even know what he looks like. They never mugged him or printed him.
Yes, Eddie, that's right.
You're crazy, I tell you. 1 million people want to talk to Rocky Perea, including the cops. No. No, Paul, I can't touch it.
You can, Eddie, if you want to do bad enough. Please, Eddie.
All right. I'll see what I can do. Maybe I do know someone.
And Eddie... It's got to be soon.
You know you'll be taking a chance. It better be good.
It is, Eddie. Good enough to take the chance for. That was 2 days ago. And this morning, Eddie came through. A certain friend, Rocky's only outside contact, told him to keep an eye on a house on Hoover Street. Eddie gave me all the dope. What Rocky looked like, how he'd act, what to expect. And early this evening, I told Carol I was going out for a while, that I'd borrow the money from Eddie, and that we wouldn't have to worry about paying it back for a while. That's what I told her, but that wasn't the answer. The answer was at the house on Hoover with Rocky Perea. I waited there, hidden in the dark corner behind the incinerator. I kept thinking, making excuses. It wasn't up to me anymore. There wasn't any other choice. I needed money desperately. I needed help to get the money. I waited more than an hour, and then I heard footsteps come up the alley. He stopped before the open patch of light, just like Eddie told me. He was careful, very careful, making sure no one was staking him. I took a deep breath and hitched my weight forward. I was going to cut across the open for the back door. I remember thinking, now, do it for Carol, for the rotten, miserable Christmas. Do it now. Rocky! He froze for a split second, and almost faster than I could see, he ducked into a shadow and spun around. The street light didn't touch him. It glinted on something metallic in his hand. And even from where I was standing, I could see he had a gun pointed at me. Rocky, don't shoot! It was a good thing I'd said it. His gun was aiming front and center. He crouched there looking at me, his eyes flat and hard. Then his voice deep and tight and deadly.
Who are you?
I'm not a cop, Rocky.
Come close, I can see you better.
Sure, Rocky. I just want to talk to you.
You call me Rocky. You been talking to anyone?
I've been watching you. I know you're Rocky Perea.
You've been watching me? What for?
You're wanted, Rocky, and you need money.
Who are you? Where'd you come from?
Now, that doesn't matter, Rocky. This is a business deal. I figured it out very carefully. You need money, well, so do I. And I got a way to get it.
Just like that, eh?
And Rocky, I'm not staying. This is a one-shot deal.
A one-shot? There's no such thing.
That's the way it's got to be. We do this job together and we're through. We never see each other again.
I sure ain't gonna go looking for you. You won't quit. Not if it comes off easy.
I'll quit, Rocky.
What's in this for me?
Half. $4,000.
Well, kid, you ain't dumb by any means, staking me out like this. Almost smart enough to be a copper. You got guts, too. Tell me, you got a family?
There's no one to stop me. I have a job that doesn't pay enough. This will raise my salary.
You want this one haul, then it's back to your job, eh?
Yeah. Is it a deal?
What's the job?
I have a car. I'll tell you on the way. If you go for it, okay. If not, we could get the whole thing.
Okay, kid. I'll listen to it. Let's go driving.
I told him what I'd planned and why I needed him, and he agreed to come with me. We drove to the Forbes' house. It was a small and old house, just big enough for the two of them. I drove down to the corner and parked, and we started back.
Lucky there's no one on the street. Let's go up the alley.
Yeah, Rocky. There's the back door. Look, no lights. They're not home.
That makes it a cinch. Okay, go on, take it. It's your baby.
Rocky, I'll have to break a window.
Yeah. You want me to hold your hand?
I'll wrap my jacket around my fist. That'll keep the noise down.
Why don't you write me a book?
Okay, I'm going. I was lucky. The side of the house was hidden from the street by a big tree. There was light to see with from the Christmas tree in the living room. I wrapped the jacket around my knuckles and with a short, sharp jab broke through the window. It sounded like a cannon. The street being so quiet before, I was scared it would rouse the whole neighborhood. But like I said, I was lucky. I scrambled up the sill and dropped into the living room. I was pretty clumsy. I pulled out drawers, looked behind pictures, under cushions. I went in the kitchen and poked around the cabinets. I looked in the cookie jar and I found a rolled up wad of bills. It was money, all right, but only $40. The old lady's secret treasure. I put it back and went into the living room again. Looking around, nervous, I stumbled on the Christmas tree and knocked it over. And then I remembered what the old man had said. A Christmas present for his wife. And I knew it was somewhere on that tree. There were Christmas stockings and favors and little red boots in and around the tinsel and the lighted bulbs. And I found the $8,000 hidden deep in one of the stockings. Got it, Rocky.
Let me see it.
It's there, Rocky. It's all there.
Yeah? $8,000. I guess I'll hold it.
Come on, let's go.
Take it easy. We're going to stick around for a while.
Stick around? What for?
And we got some money. How do we know it's all of it? Maybe they split it and put it in two places. We'll wait here and watch when they come in. Delta
it. It was $8,000. That's what he withdrew.
You asked for this, kid. Now do as you're told. We'll wait.
couldn't help being scared. My first job. My first and last. A one-shot. I wanted to get away fast, run, and put it behind me. But Rocky just stood there, like he didn't have a worry in the world.
Listen, kid. They're ringing for us. They're wishing us a Merry Christmas. Wait. There they are. They're unlocking the door.
You know, Harvey, the Christmas services work so beautiful.
Sure. This year in particular.
Harvey.
Huh?
Look, the tree. Someone's been in here. A burglar.
Burglar?
Oh, my cookie jar. I've got my house money hidden there.
The old lady ran to the kitchen, but Forbes knew where to look, and he knew it was gone. Rocky was grinning, his face lit up like floodlights. Let's go, Rocky. We've seen enough.
No, no, hold on a minute.
It's all here, Harvey. I wonder what he was after.
It's gone. All the money.
All what money?
$8,000. I took it all out of the bank. Ada, I quit my job. It was going to be a surprise.
No.
Every penny we had in the world.
Oh, Harvey. All that money.
No, it'll be all right, Ada.
Oh, 12 years you worked so we could have something.
Well, I can keep on working, Ada. I'll do it all over again.
Well, you can't work anymore. The doctor... Oh, what's a person to believe? You work so hard and we do without things for 12 long years. And for what? In 1 minute, some good-for-nothing hoodlum takes it all away from us.
I looked at Rocky standing there next to me, his face split by that grin. It was funny to him, something to laugh about, to gloat over. That's why he'd stayed. Suddenly, I knew I couldn't go through with it. Me, the guy who needed the money so bad, the guy with the bright one-shot idea.
Quite a show, eh, kid? Come on, let's go.
He moved off a few steps, but I just stood there, knowing what I was going to do.
Come on, I said. Let's go.
Knowing what I was going to do. No. No, Rocky. We're not going.
Huh?
I said we're not going, and neither is the money.
What's that?
Don't, Rocky. I've got a gun, too.
Now what's got into you?
I'm going to give that money back, Rocky. I can't stomach this.
Give it back? You're crazy.
No, Rocky. I just didn't see deep enough. Old people like this.
This was your idea. I ain't responsible for it.
I know, Rocky, but I can make it right.
Suppose I don't give you the money.
Then I'll kill you, Rocky.
Okay, kid. You got the gun.
He gave me the money, all the hate showing in his eyes. I turned, started for the house. I gave him my back for a target, but he didn't use it. I knocked on the door.
Yes, who? Paul, from the bank.
I just had a fight with a guy, Mr. Forbes. Saw him jump from your window. I chased after him.
Our window? You saw him?
Yes, ma'am. I was walking past. I kind of figured he'd just finished robbing you.
But did you catch him?
Well, I couldn't hold on to him. He broke away, but not before I got this.
Why, Harvey, the money.
Yes.
Oh, bless you.
Oh, forget it. I'm only sorry I couldn't hold him.
You say you fought with this burglar?
Yes, he broke away before...
We want to thank you, Paul.
Forget it. I'll be going now.
Oh, wait, Paul. We want to give you a reward.
Oh, no. No, I don't want a reward. I'll have to be going. I stopped there on the porch for a minute, afraid to go back to Rocky. Suddenly, terribly afraid of what he'd do to me. The old couple was still talking, loud, like old people do.
Yes, it all happened so fast.
I've always wondered about that boy. What made him bring the money back?
He's honest, Ada. I know him from the bank.
Oh, fiddlesticks, Harvey. He didn't fight with anyone.
What do you mean, Ada?
Well, his clothes, by the whole story he told us. Your young friend took the money in the first place.
Why, Ada, I believe you're right.
Of course I'm right. Now, what on earth made him change his mind like that?
It's Christmas. Merry Christmas.
She'd known. The old lady had known all along. And it didn't make any difference. Wait, She'd offered, even offered to give me a reward. Suddenly, I felt something strange, like being clean inside, like being able to see something that wasn't there before. And the tightness, the fear, eased a little.
All right, let's go, kid. The car.
Rocky.
You did what you wanted. You just forgot that half of that money was mine. Now move. Get it moving. What was it you said? You need me, Rocky. You're hot.
Rocky, I made a mistake.
I want to team up with you, Rocky. You need money. I got away.
I was wrong.
Maybe the next job you won't get soft in the head.
There's not going to be a next one, Rocky. I'm through.
Through? You think I spent Christmas Eve with you because I like you? I'm out $4,000, kid.
I'm sorry, Rocky, but there's not going to be a next time.
You think so, huh? Stop the car.
All right. But I'll never see it different, Rocky. I found out tonight. If it's not these old people, then it's someone else taking it just as hard.
Are you sure? You sure it's not Christmas doing this?
I'm sure. It's not for me, Rocky.
You know, I'm kind of glad it turned out this way.
You're what?
Well, you're through, ain't you? You're going back to your job.
Yeah, Rocky, sure.
Good. Then I figured it right.
What?
I didn't think you'd go through with it.
Say, wait a minute.
Yeah?
You're not Rocky Perea.
I said you were a smart kid.
But the way you acted, so careful, sneaking in the alley and... Say, who are you?
Weissman's the name. Police Lieutenant Richard Weissman, gangster squad.
You're a cop? But where's Rocky?
We picked him up this afternoon, kid. He had a couple of guys working with him, and I thought maybe you were one of them. Now I know different.
Cop.
I don't expect I'll run into you again, kid. So take care of yourself. And Merry Christmas.
Lucky, all the breaks. But I was no better off than this morning. There was still money, 2 months paying the nurse. There was still the worry for Carol.
Oh, Mr. Shane, we've been expecting you. Congratulations.
Doctor, what's the matter? Why? Oh,
nothing's wrong, quite the contrary. Your wife just had a baby.
Baby? Carol?
Oh, she's perfectly all right, so is your daughter.
Carol. Oh, Carol, darling. Are you all right?
Hello, sweetheart. I'm fine.
Carol is...
We won't have to borrow money now, Paul. It's turned out for the best after all.
Oh, darling.
And it always will, my dear. We have so much, you and I. We have each other. And now we've got a daughter. A fine, healthy little girl. The rest will come, Paul. Let's live the day we have. Your little girl's over there, Paul. Tell her we're very, very happy she's in the family. And wish her a Merry Christmas.
Smiling.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Dennis Day.
Suspense, on Tuned 2 Yesterday from the 21st of December, 1950 on CBS. And that wraps this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned 2 Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Happy holidays.